Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be talking about Steve Lawson again, but specifically John MacArthur's comments on Steve Lawson. I get the impression that John MacArthur's calling Steve Lawson a false teacher. We're going to dive into his comments that were at a recent Grace Community Church Ask Me Anything sort of event. So this is pretty interesting to me. Where we last left off was that the connection of Steve Lawson to MacArthur World, specifically that Steve Lawson was having an adulterous relationship with a graduate of the Masters University. So Steve Lawson was teaching at the Masters Seminary, which does have different facilities than the Masters University, but there was enough of a, you know, proximity that these two would meet and they would have and continue an inappropriate relationship for about 5 years, give or take. So John MacArthur's church is connected to it. So for him to speak out on this is pretty relevant. And John MacArthur's church and his orbit is, for the most part, how we know the details of this. I think the Bible's clear, you know, when an elder sins, there should be a lot more transparency with what went on here than we have gotten from the elders of Steve Lawson's church thus far. But the story's not over yet. We're going to talk a little bit more about what the outlook of the Steve Lawson thing is. There's a recent report dictating it as negative. So we're going to dive into all that, starting with John MacArthur's recent comments. But first, I want to let you know, Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. I think we've been doing pretty well on YouTube, kind of leading the way and getting the news out there on the latest of Steve Lawson and his unfortunate happenings. But nonetheless, we do a lot of good reporting on happy subjects as well as unfortunate subjects as well. This is our Patreon-like system. You can support it at evangelicaldarkweb.org. And also check out my book, Winning Not Winsome, 10 Commandments to Spiritual Warfare. And I do talk about MacArthur quite a bit in the book, but I don't talk about Steve Lawson at all. And actually, part of the reason is probably because Steve Lawson isn't really relevant in any of the major fights that have faced evangelicalism in the last 5 to 10 years. So he doesn't really get mentioned in my book for that reason. But anyway, here is John MacArthur with his comments on Steve Lawson.
Consider the scope of ministry that God's doing here. It is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians, a wide open door of opportunity for the gospel. And yet, you know, Paul goes on in that verse to say there are many adversaries. Right. And we expect that kind of adversity when it comes from outside of the church. But sometimes, unexpectedly, there are threats and challenges. There's adversity that comes from inside the church when people that we respect and trust turn out to be different than we thought they were, or at least than they profess to be. When that happens, we're all stunned. How do we process that? How do we move past that?
Well, I know you're talking about Steve Lawson. I
do got to pause because I think it's hilarious that John MacArthur just cuts to the meat of the question. Like, you're really talking about this context. This question's being asked with a certain context, and John MacArthur recognizes it, calls it out. I actually really respect that. You know, he's not playing around with the question here.
I say that with the deepest agony in my soul. But the first thing you have to understand is God is blessing this church in many, many ways. And that is one of the ways he is blessing us. To expose someone who is in a position they have no right to be in.
To purify the church.
To purify the church. I mean, this is the whole point of Revelation 2 and 3, right? Where the Lord sends all those letters to the churches and says, look, something isn't right in your church. You either deal with it or I'm coming and I'm going to blow the candle out and you're going to be out of existence. I mean, the church has two options. One, get right. Two, you're done. I mean, the church of Laodicea was done. Smyrna was done. You either deal with the sin. One of those letters basically says you have someone there who tolerates adultery. I'll remove the candlestick. It is fatal to a church to have that kind of behavior in leadership. And while none of us knew it or expected it because of the soundness of the theology, the Lord knew.
I want to pause right here just to, because he's about to go into a different point, but I wanted to comment on the point that he made, which was that God is using this to bless the church. And even though that may seem difficult to hear and accept, I do believe he's absolutely right about that. When Ravi Zacharias was exposed, I mean, we kind of knew that Ravi Zacharias was, you know, a little bit out there before he died, because he did have that sexting scandal with another pastor's wife, by the way, who, you know, tried to claim that she was a victim. But I digress. But in that, God, you know, revealed the truth to bless the church. Like, you know, God would not let that secret sin go to the grave, and nor did he. Like, you know, Ravi Zacharias died with it, but God didn't let it stay dead. So it was used to bless the church. God is, you know, pruning the church, and this is a constant, I believe it is a teaching in Scripture that God will guide the church. And John MacArthur is absolutely right about that. We got to trust that God has a plan for all these things. Romans 8:28 is still in effect. So I think this is a very encouraging word by John MacArthur. So I just wanted to pause while he's about to transition to making a different point.
And the Lord said, for Grace Church, that's enough. For the Master Seminary, that's enough. I think there has to be a weariness with the Lord. I think he has to be sick of superficial church worship. One of the downsides of not being here every Sunday morning is the agony of watching church on TV and the frivolity and silliness and superficiality. The pragmatic movement, we all talk about pragmatism over the last 30, 40 years. Church is becoming pragmatic, trying to entertain unbelievers. I think there's a weariness with God with that. And some of those pragmatic churches, the ones that maybe had the greatest amount of influence, like Hillsong or the one in Dallas, or Robert Morris's church, which is right across the road from Tom Pennington's Faithful Church, Countryside Bible, the Lord is turning the spotlight on and saying, that's enough. That's enough. And unfaithful leaders are being exposed, as they should be. And while we would wish that it had never happened to us, we would be foolish to think that there wouldn't be an effort made by the enemy to plant in this church someone who could have a corrupting influence while apparently having a positive influence. That's the subtlety of Satan. And it almost seems to me that you'd have to have somebody like that here, because we wouldn't take the kind of leadership that other churches take to rise to this pulpit. Your theology has to be sound, and everything about you, as far as we know it, to be supporting that theology. So if we were going to have that, that's the kind of person it would be. But again, you know, as we get closer to the end, I think the Lord is purifying his church, and I'm so thankful for that. My heart and soul aches for Steve. Obviously, a friend, I don't love him any less than I've loved him for 25 years. I don't know how you preach past your conscience unless it's completely scarred over. But I pray constantly. In fact, find myself almost every night praying for him in some point in the middle of the night. But the Lord has favored us. He wants a pure church. I mean, the first instruction in the Bible for the church is if somebody sins, go to him, right? Matthew 18. And ultimately, if they don't repent, tell the church. Tell the church. Paul said, I want to present to the Lord a pure and chaste bride. Sometimes we know the sin and we can deal with it. Sometimes we don't know the sin and the Lord has to bring it out. But while my heart is crushed for the sinner, it is grateful for the Savior who is purifying his church.
So the second point's a little bit more about discernment, and he talks about how, you know, these people with bad theology, the Hillsongs, the Robert Morrises of the world, you know, they obviously, it's easier to infiltrate, it's easier to be a wolf in sheep's clothing in this instance, it's easier to have a secret sin in this instance, especially in Robert Morris's case, because apparently people knew in, you know, 1989 what he did, 1987 what he did, and stuff like that. They knew what he did, and they, you know, didn't tell anyone. They didn't report it for 35 years to the public, which is sinful, by the way, all parties involved. But in, you know, places with better theology, and I will say, not a MacArthur bro, but John MacArthur has better theology than Hillsong. I don't really think that's a controversial statement. I don't, you know, John MacArthur has better theology than a lot of the Dallas churches that have been in scandal. T.D. Jakes, Robert Morris, Tony Evans. He has better theology than these churches as well. And I don't agree with MacArthur on a number of issues, but he doesn't operate in clown world, and churches that operate in clown world put up with a lot more sin in their leadership than churches that have better theology. So what MacArthur's saying is that in order to be a wolf in sheep's clothing in these environments, you got to present yourself as having better theology, and that's why they would allow you, and to some degree, it's even more of a lie. So I get the sense that John MacArthur does not believe that Steve Lawson is indeed, you know, a true teacher, and, you know, he's preaching past his conscience, and he doesn't know how he could do that unless it's completely seared. I don't know how, and I'm not sure if he knows how, if a believer's conscience can even be as seared to have persisted in this sin for a number of years, a double life, so to speak. So one last thing to check on, and it's this article by Protestia, which is on this story, by the way, since they got to it first. But anyway, it says details have been thin regarding the exact nature of Lawson's inappropriate relationship revealed a little over a month ago, yet sources close to the situation have reported that the young woman Lawson was involved with has been cooperative and repentant regarding her sinful relationship with the long-serving pastor. So, I guess the person who's my age that, you know, swiped right on a 70-year-old man is repentant. That's good to hear. She needs to be repentant of that. She wasn't abused, and I'm not going to pretend like she was. She committed some sin there. And then reports from GCC staff have revealed a genuine possibility that Steve Lawson would have been tapped to fill John MacArthur's role when he no longer was preaching at Grace Community Church while permanent replacement was sought. So it appears that Providence protected the church from being led even temporarily by a disqualified false shepherd. So they think that he was a false shepherd. Let me read the sentence that came before that. Lawson remains silent and, by all reports, unrepentant and uncommunicative. But the young woman's reported repentance is encouraging and should cause believers not to seek to expose her identity. Now, I don't agree with that last sentence. I think her identity is fair game. But, you know, that's my opinion on the matter. That being said, they dodged a bullet at GCC. Just saying. They dodged a bullet. And the fact that Steve Lawson is on a milk carton is not a good sign. It is a bad sign that he is on a milk carton with all this going on. I understand that he has to take some time to grapple and, you know, grasp what he did. But something to all the people that love and care for you would be helpful, I think. Those are just my opinions. Take it for what it is. But I don't like the idea of him being on a milk carton here. So anyway, that's all I got for today. My name is Ray, this is the Evangelical Dark Web. If you like this kind of content, do subscribe to the channel. It's the best way to help out with those magical YouTube algorithms. Until then, stay based. Christ is King. And we will catch you on the next one.